Over the last couple of years, I've had the privilege of being what they call pulpit supply every now and then. And now I have the privilege of being your pastor. I get to meddle in your lives, at least for the next year, and you and mine. Allow me to meddle with the scripture verses that come from Matthew 25. The scriptures declare, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these of mine, you did for me. This is the word of the Lord. On Palm Sunday, on this Sunday, we commemorate the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. It was an extraordinary entry by an extraordinary king. The world's kings in those days often did march into their city, followed by their troops of soldiers, after a great victory. This was a small reflection of that, except that Jesus wasn't riding the proud horse that the kings rode. And he had kind of a ragtag group that followed him. But he was nevertheless a king. The King of Kings. And he came to establish a kingdom. He marched into Jerusalem and he marched into our hearts to establish a kingdom. To draw all people to him. To his heart and to each other. He came to rule, but not like any other ruler. His rule and his kingdom were for eternity. It was a spiritual kingdom that would last forever. So what kind of people live in that kingdom? What kind of people are citizens of that kingdom? Well, I believe this passage gives us some clues as to what kingdom people are like. Here are the thoughts that struck me. Kingdom people are those who serve their king simply. Simply, not sensationally, not flamboyantly, not by some dramatic action, but simply. In a simple way, they take care of people. They feed people, they shelter people, they clothe people. They visit the sick, visit those in prison. Simple acts by people with genuinely caring hearts. There's a story told of a rabbi in a small Jewish village in Russia who disappeared every Friday morning for several hours. And his devoted disciples in the village created a story that they believed was true. And that was that during those few hours on Friday mornings, the rabbi would simply ascend into heaven and spend time talking with God. One day a stranger came into the village and he heard this story, and he was a fairly skeptical guy. So he decided to check it out. So the next Friday morning he hid where he could not be seen and observed the rabbi as he began his day. He watched him get out of bed. He watched him go onto his knees. He watched him say his prayers. And then he saw him put on some peasant clothing and walk off toward the forest. Well, the stranger followed him, saw him pick up an axe and chop up some wood, and then carry a pile that he could carry into the edge of the forest to a shack that was there. And he took the chopped wood and placed it beside the shack and sneaked off without being seen. In that shack lived an old woman and her very sick son. He left just enough wood to take care of them for 1 week. Well, after doing that, the rabbi went into the village. This humble act by this rabbi so impressed the stranger who had come to the village that from that day on, he became a disciple of this religious leader. And when he heard someone say then about the rabbi who every Friday morning ascended up into heaven, he would say, and perhaps even higher, because of the beauty he saw in this man. He knew what kind of man he was. It was a simple act. It was the act of a king's disciple. The kind of act that we are called to in this particular passage. We're not asked to create miracles as we follow Christ. We're simply called to simple acts of care. That, according to this passage, you know, reveals the heart of the people in Christ's kingdom. They're the ones who feed and give water and invite people to themselves and visit those who need a visit. Well, the second thing that strikes me is that kingdom people, the people who are in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, not only serve simply, but they serve sincerely. They serve out of a genuine heart. They serve out of the nature that has been changed by God's touch. They serve just naturally. They hardly even notice what they are doing. I think that's why they ask the question, when did we feed you when you were hungry? When did we clothe you when you needed clothing? When did we bring you water? When did we visit you in prison? They just did those things naturally, these kingdom people. And Christ said, You serve me when you served the least of these. You took care of the king when you took care of the king's people who were in need. They served sincerely. The word sincere has a fascinating backstory. Ancient Rome was filled with statues, many to the multiple gods that people worshipped. Certainly, the civic buildings all had multiple statues. And if there was anything more than the statues in Rome, it were sculptures. They were everywhere. People loved statues, they made statues. And in this plethora of sculptures, not all of them were very good, but they wanted to sell their goods anyway. So when they brought them to market, they wanted to make sure that the cracks and the flaws in their statues were covered up. So they put wax over them, as though there were no cracks or faults. Now, the real artists didn't have to do that, but those who were not the great artists, they had to do that. So in order to separate themselves from the ones who just were bringing cracked goods to the market, the real artistic sculptors would put a sign over their statues. And their sign had two words: sine sera, which meant without wax. That's where we get the word sincere. We're called to be a without wax people. We're called to be a sincere, genuine people. We're called to be a people whose nature has been changed by the touch of the king, so they would naturally care for one another. Well, around this passage, in a variety of places, we are reminded that God's people are not only a people who serve simply or people who serve sincerely, but there are people who serve lovingly. We've heard that theme over and over again. That's a major theme of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Love is the greatest mark of the Christian, of the follower of our Lord the King. It reveals that we have actually given ourselves to God and been claimed by Him, that we've been recreated by Him. Love is the first sign of our character that says that we're a part of God's kingdom. People of Christ's kingdom are a loving people. And we love Him because He, what? First loved us. That's how we learned to love. That's how we were filled with love that could overflow to other people. That's how our character was changed. It's the greatest sign of a godly heart. And the kind of love that God puts into us can't be hidden. It can't be kept inside. It demands to be expressed. It demands to be active. If we're a follower of Christ, the one who loves us all the way to the cross, we can't help but love others. There's a story told of a man who was on his way out of town. He was to catch a plane in a couple of hours, but he needed some clothes cleaned. And so he remembered having driven by a cleaner's that had a sign that said, 1 hour dry cleaning. So he stopped there with his clothes, dropped his clothing onto the counter and said, "Look, I've got to catch a plane in a couple of hours. I'll pick these up in 60 minutes. And the person at the counter said, "Oh, no, these won't be ready until Thursday." He said, "Well, wait a minute. I can't wait till Thursday. I've got to get on a plane soon. Your sign says 1 hour cleaners." No, I'm sorry. They won't be ready until Thursday." Then why in the world do you have up there in a big sign over your establishment 1 hour dry cleaning? Well, that's the name we decided to give our establishment. It doesn't mean that we can get it done in an hour. It's just what we call ourselves. We take on the name Christian. May it not be just a name we call ourselves. May it be a revelation of the quality of love that expresses itself, that does what we claim to say we do. If we love God, we love our neighbors. John gets pretty harsh in his epistle at one point, saying, "If you say you love God but hate your neighbor, you're a liar. You don't love God, because God would have changed you." Tony Campolo is a man who happens to be a professor and a wonderful speaker as well. He tells a story in one of his books about being in Philadelphia and walking on Chestnut Street, as he wrote it. I don't know where Chestnut Street is, but apparently there is one in Philadelphia. On Chestnut Street, he encountered a person that he, in the book, just called a street person. And in his memory, it was a kind of a grimy-looking guy. And yet, the street person approached him, and he noticed right away that he seemed to be dirty from head to foot. He had a long beard, as he described it, full of particles of food that apparently were remainders of meals he had hidden and eaten that week. Inadvertently in his beard. But the guy was carrying a cup of McDonald's coffee. And he approached Tony and offered him a little bit of his coffee, saying, "You know, this is great tasting coffee. Would you like a sip? I'd love to give you a little bit of it." And Tony, wanting to be polite, decided that he would have a little bit of coffee, so he took a sip. And then he said to the man, "What is it that's making you in such a good mood and so generous with what you have?" And he said, "You know, I don't get good coffee like this very often. And when God gives a person a good thing, I believe he should share it with other people." Tony Campolo said, "I think I'm being set up." So he said, "So what do you want me to share with you?" Thinking it was a bit of quid pro quo. He figured he was about to lose $5. And the guy looked at him and said, "I want a hug." Tony thought to himself, "I'd rather give him $5. But anyway, reached out to him and hugged him, and the guy grabbed a hold of him, and it was like a vice grip that he held him in, and Tony wasn't sure he'd ever be let go. But as he writes about the incident, he said, "There was like an echo of a voice in the back of my brain that was simply asking him, When you saw me hungry, did you give me some food? When you saw me thirsty, did you give me something to drink? When I asked you for a hug on Chestnut Street, did you hug me? The Bible says that when we care for the least of these is when we care for the King. When we love the people in need, we love the King. When you do that for me, you do it for me, says our Lord. That's a kingdom person. That's why Christ came riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, to establish a kingdom filled with those kind of people. A kingdom that would change hearts forever and share hearts and resources simply and sincerely and lovingly. Mother Teresa used to say, you're not called to do great things in this world. You're called to do just some simple things with great love. That's the mark of a kingdom person. Holy Father, we want to be faithful people in your kingdom. When you marched into Jerusalem in Jesus Christ, may you have marched also into our hearts and claimed us. When he broke down all of the barriers between us and you by putting Christ on the cross, may we respect that amazing act that allows us to be yours because of your willingness to forgive us and love us. And may we be a people who reflects that kind of forgiveness and love to others in the ways that the Scripture declares and other simple ways as well. We pray that and more in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.